Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are, or you wouldn't be here. So let's get on with the show. Here's Brad.
Hello, everyone. Exciting times on the Brad and Body Podcast. We're back. We're excited. Round three is in the bank, but more importantly, the WNBL is starting. Yes. Body, hello, my friend. How are you?
Okay. I'm fantastic. I'm really looking forward to this first round of the WNBL. Looking forward to having a bit of a chat about it because there's some very interesting looking teams, some new people. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that as I was with the NBL. However, with the NBL, I think when we started, Brad, we were saying this might be the greatest crop of players we've had. It hasn't seemed to have turned out that way with a few players not showing this form they showed in the preseason, particularly imports. There's been a bit of a rash. We've got a new one starting up with South East
Melbourne. I would say more imports in that comment. I completely agree with you. Is it right? Six have gone home. Did I read that somewhere?
Yeah, you read that somewhere. I'm not sure it's correct. But I mean, South East Melbourne Phoenix this week start up with Wes Iwundi. I think that's how you say his surname. A new 6'6 or 196 centimetre wing. So that should help them because they've needed another scorer. But
they need a scorer.
Yeah. But anyway, hey, with the women,
let's start about the WNBL, Botond. Okay, stay on tune, my man. All right, the WNBL is exciting. Let's just give a little wrap here. Preseason's over. Townsville won the preseason tournament, but I'm excited. There is a new ownership group in town. Adelaide, there was talk of them folding. They're not. They're back. They're exciting. What we're going to do is we're going to go through every team quickly as we normally do. It won't be long. We know we don't do that type of thing, but we're going to talk it by game for you, right? And as we talk game by game, that'll then be able to give us how the teams will play and what they'll look like. So, Botond, why don't we start off with the opening game on Wednesday night?
Is it Wednesday?
No, it's Saturday, 18th. What am I saying? Sorry.
You're thinking Ignite Cup. You're just mixing everything together, Brad, which is okay. There's a song, by somebody called Melting Pot once. Anyway, we've got Southside Melbourne Flyers. And notice that they've inserted Melbourne there because they recognise that they've got Geelong and Bendigo. So they're the only Melbourne-based team. So they've added Melbourne to their title.
I was wondering why that was that way, but good work. Yeah, because I noticed the SMF I've noticed in their short little thing. Okay, so Southside Melbourne Flyers, we will talk about, versus the Caps. I think some good teams. I'm excited for Southside. Kayla George playing for them.
I don't think Kayla George being recruited is as. I know we've made a lot of fuss about that because she's Opal's captain, etc. Kayla's not heading into the best portion of her career. She's probably the big recruit they've got is Isabel Bourne, who already won the Tiana Manga Kahia, the inaugural MVP of the preseason tournament. Yes, she was a big loss to the Adelaide Lightning. She's going to be huge for Southside Melbourne. And then, you got people like Tara Reid and Maddie Rocci.
I think I'm excited to watch her play. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So where do you see them? Middle of the range?
At the moment, before we've seen a game, I'll have to pick a few of them for mid. But they're playing against a Canberra team that should be around the mark at the end of the season, but starts with one of their big recruits, Satina Alcusa, injured, so she'll be out. She'll be missing. Jade Melbourne's back. They got Nadia Poch, and the big recruit they've got there is Sarah Blitzarves, who's been out for a year after having some serious back surgery.
Yeah, for Canberra, obviously. Well, I mean, obviously, you know her quite well. Looking comfortable, feeling good.
I think that this recovery process and rehab that she's done has really rejuvenated her love for the game. And she just can't wait to play. She's in the best shape of her career. If she'd done some of this work earlier, but you never realize as an athlete, you think you're doing enough, and then you get a serious injury, and now you do so much more. She's in the best shape of her life, and I'm not unhappy to say that if she maintains that, she could be in MVP contention.
Oh, I love hearing that. Where do you see Canberra finishing?
Again, it depends how long Alcuso's out, but I think they're, again, towards the back end of the four, around that mid-group. There's quite a cluster of them.
I had them in fourth. That's where I had them. So
I've got Southside winning this first game, though, at home. I think they might just have the edge.
I think so too, and I'm with you. So the next game is on the next. Oh no, it's going to be after that, obviously. Geelong Venom.
Yeah.
Ooh, the Venom body.
Yeah. Playing they're no longer Sydney. United. They're venomous.
Yeah. Yeah. Playing obviously Sydney Flames. Some interesting times. I think Geelong get the win at home. I haven't been super impressed with Sydney from what I've seen on in the preseason and everything. Right. But, you know, have they got enough Sydney to be able to do something here?
I'm
Nicholson's
looking at Sydney.
Back.
Yeah, she's back from becoming a mum.
Yep.
Which is and Shanice Swain is there. They yep. Keely Froling comes into the lineup.
They've got a team.
They've got some nice pieces.
Yeah.
But then Geelong returns Jazz Shelley, Alex Sharp, Alyssa Britt, Gemma Potter, who are all very good players from last season. They picked up Shyla Hill, which I think was possibly the recruit of the season, but unfortunately she's injured and will probably miss, I think it might be 5 weeks before she's
good to go. Yeah, I wasn't sure the exact. I know she's injured, obviously, but I wasn't exactly sure she's, from my understanding, I think she's down there now.
Yeah, so, she's in there.
I know I saw some socials of her doing like reps and everything on a knee and it looked like it was going well, but as we know, you know, recovery is slow on those things and you've got to be careful. So obviously hope she gets back on very quickly, but you'd probably see that towards the end of the season, I would think.
Yeah, mid to end. Yeah. So they've got a lot of home. I think they've got 7 of their first 9 at home. So they really need to bank some of those because they won't have the luxury of home games in the stretch. So that could actually count against them. They've also picked up Mackenzie Clinch, who was Mackenzie Clinch Hoyt-Card, I think, at Perth. And she's going to be a big asset to him. She's a 3-point shooter. She's a big body. She can get inside. I don't mind them. They'll be a troubling team.
Where do you see Geelong?
Yeah, again, right there in that 4-5-6 region.
Right.
Where we've got quite a few different teams. I'd like to see him with Shyla playing before I
It is a new team. Well, speaking of the next game on the next day is a grand final meet rematch, which will see a new look Bendigo, I should say, take on Townsville, who are in their 25th year of the WNBL, which I think is fabulous Anyway, Townsville will win.
They're almost as old as you.
Yeah, Townsville will win that, in my opinion. Is Isabel Belaise, you know, we've had her on the show before. I love her. I think she'll be great for Bendigo.
She's going to play them.
Sammy
Whitcomb, and nobody is Sammy Whitcomb other than Sammy Whitcomb. So, I think Bendigo is in the mix, but they might struggle. It depends how much age catches up with Kelsey Griffin and Mariana Tolo. Great players. No question about that, but you don't get younger, and father time, or in this case it might be mother time, does tend to sort of catch up with you a little bit. So I'm curious. I'm very interested to see how they go against Townsville, which is by far the number one team going into this championship. They are the Melbourne United of the WNBL, I would say.
Well, when you say grand final, Townsville, I tell you what, is there any bigger team at the moment than Perth Lynx, who will then round out round one playing in Adelaide against Adelaide? But of the Perth Lynx have picked up 6'11". That's right, 6'11", 200 and all 211 centimetres of her, who, you know, potentially is the tallest and most dominant player in women's basketball, Han Zhu.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Look, I remember her most distinctly from the 2022 FIBA World Cup in Sydney and the semi-final game against Australia, where I think Lauren Jackson came on in the first half and just roughed her up a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought that's good because she was a little bit intimidated by Lauren. Unfortunately, Sandy Brondello didn't seize on that in the second half, didn't use Lauren at all, and Han Zhu ended up winning the MVP of the game and China won the game. And since then,
winning the silver medal.
And then onto the silver medal. So she was instrumental in that. She's a good player with a good disposition for the game. Like, she doesn't let too much get up her nose. And she's a huge asset. But she won't be able to join them till late November because she's got commitments with the Chinese National Games, which is a big event every four years.
Yeah, I did hear that. Just a little thing for our listeners. She was 14th overall pick, went to New York in the WNBA. Yep. 2019, if memory serves me correct, I think it was around that time. But then she went back and had an unbelievable career across, you know, WNBA and China's, is it WCBA?
That wasn't 2009, Brad, because she's only 25.
Did I say 9? I meant 19. Apologies, right.
Because she would have been about 6 then, I reckon. Yeah, she was tall, but, you know, physically not developed.
She would have been. Okay, where have you got Perth?
She's not going to be available. And what I'm hearing is that Breanna Turner, who's had 3 seasons with the Lightning, will be Perth's interim in that meantime. Okay. So they won't gain much, but they certainly will have a big, they'll be used to playing with a big center. That's the point.
Where do you have Perth in all of this?
Second, I see them playing Townsville in the
right.
final.
So I had Townsville, Perth, Bendigo. That's my top 3. Yeah. And then I've got to be honest with you, I'm struggling Canberra, Geelong, Sydney, Adelaide, all of them. I need to see more. I have to be honest. I just need to see more. But I do believe, well, Townsville stand out at the moment. Perth with that signing and Bendigo, they're my top 3.
Hang on. Now, here's a question for you. This is Townsville, first 7. Alex Fowler, Alicia Froling, Lauren Cox, who's an import, Lucy Olsen, who's an import, Abby Ellis, you know, she's an award winner last season, Courtney Woods, played for the Opals, and Mila Sowa. That's 7 players. His biggest problem will be working out his starting lineup.
I know. No, they're going to go so deep.
Yeah.
They're just they're just going to keep going. That's the thing that I like, you know, like it's going to be 40 minutes of tough basketball, you know, it's just, and like, there's no, you know, sometimes when you can take off you know, like we're seeing this in the NBL as well, you take off 1 or 2 players and the next crew come on and okay, no, that's just going to keep going, you know, like, and some NBL teams have been struggling with that this year, but other teams are great. That's where I see Townsville.
So
my understanding is all games are going to be called on TV. I think it's 9 now. And so that, I mean, fantastic news. Like I said, we've got new ownership now. I know they'll want to do the right thing by the broadcast. The right thing is happening for the ladies basketball, and they deserve it. We've been medals everywhere, all over the place, and I'm really excited for the season to get going.
I'm excited for it too, and I'm thrilled for the Adelaide Basketball Club, which has been, you know, close to gone 4 times now. But the launch, I think I mentioned to you before, I went to the launch and the money being generated, the sponsors, the South Australian sponsors, Drake's, that are getting behind them, which is South Australian, like Foodland and the Mighty South Aussies. They're getting right behind this team, and their future is assured. I think they're going to struggle this season. Losing Borlase and Bourne is a big hit.
Yeah.
So I think they might be down near the bottom end. But
did they leave because of the issues on in Adelaide? Do you know or not really? Yeah, that's what I...
Yes. That opened the door. I don't know if they're going to leave, but that opened the door.
Yeah.
And then people come in and say, well, here's a great opportunity, and away they go.
So as we know, all teams play once. You had Southside beating the Caps, Geelong beating the Flames, Townsville beating Bendigo, and Perth beating Adelaide?
Yes.
Well, then we're in agreeance. I don't like that, to be honest with you. I don't like being in agreeance with you.
Well, but it just means you're right for a change.
I resemble that remark. Okay, well, look, that's a wrap for the WNBL. Obviously, we will talk about each game as we go on, like what we do. But let's move over to the NBL. Some interesting games and some really poor games is probably the right way. Look, we're not going to go through each game like we normally did. We spent more time on the NBL last time because of the women's, but this time we're going to do it a little bit quicker.
Give me your top 6.
My top 6, I've only just changed Illawarra out for Cairns. So I've got Melbourne, Adelaide, Tasmania, Perth, Sydney, Illawarra. That's my 6.
Well, I've made the change. I've had faith in Melbourne, Tasmania, Adelaide and Illawarra, and then I've had sort of question marks over Perth and Sydney. Sydney's win over Adelaide is the best performance I've seen from a Sydney team since they won a championship.
Yeah, yeah.
They came into this town after having lost to Melbourne, and you know, there were some moments in that game where they weren't pretty. They came into Adelaide focused from the tip-off, well-focused even before the tip-off.
Yeah.
And they manhandled Adelaide. Brian Gorgian, the GOAT of the NBL coaches, who has been under some scrutiny and some criticism for an ordinary season last year at Sydney, and then you've dropped to Cairns, you've dropped to Melbourne. They came in here on a mission into Adelaide, and they were wonderful. I was so happy for Gorge. I was so happy for his team because they executed. I know a lot of you guys on the East Coast, you love Sydney just because you're there. I mean, I haven't been a huge fan or a believer in what they could do this season because I felt they're missing that one more key big. But you know, Adelaide just played
it was their hands. It was nice to see a Gorgian team do the old Gorgian where defense. We're shutting down that guy. And I've got to give a shout out to Bull Quall.
He's deep.
I'm sure I said it on the show last week. I can't understand why people don't deny Bryce Cottonmore, because once he gets the ball, it's really hard. So they denied him, but when they got the ball, they doubled him, but their rotation was outstanding. And that's where. I'm just going to go through winners and losers, and then you can talk, right? So we've got New Zealand absolutely thumped Illawarra. Illawarra looked awful that game, but then they bounced back. I'll talk about it now in a good win against Brisbane, letting go McLaughlin, Ja'Cory McLaughlin, right move. I'll just tell you this, though. When we were in Illawarra, I must have had 10 people from that club come to me and say, Brad, I just want you to know that we loved him. We're sorry he had to go. He was a great guy on and off the court, but it just didn't fit. Now, I don't know where all that came from because they were obviously disappointed with some articles or something that had been written because they made a statement and they came to me and others, not just me, by the way, but they were very adamant, Brad, I need you to know this. I said, okay.
Yeah, he wasn't a problem. He wasn't a problem.
No.
And there was some attempt to make out that he was, and he wasn't. He wasn't a problem. He just wasn't quite good enough for what they need. That's all.
And that's like, what was the guy's name? Whatever it was from Southeast Melbourne. Same thing. Good player. Just didn't
work. Ben's Blydenburg.
Feinberg, same thing. All right, so then Adelaide did a job on Tasmania. I really enjoyed that game, by the way. That was a really good game.
I did think for the first time Scott Rife made a couple of blues in that game.
Wow.
I thought TJ Starks, if you throw yourself back an extra week to Brisbane, he's just off the plane. He turns that game around in Brisbane and they win it. Now, here we are in Adelaide and he played 14 minutes, and Ben Eyre was phenomenal in the third quarter. He had a little patch, but Scott Roth went with him. And in the last quarter, when you're not used to playing that amount of minutes, you're going to start making mistakes. And he had TJ Starks sitting there, I'm thinking, get that boy on for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And he never did, and they didn't bridge the gap.
Wonder what will happen there, because he's got to go. He's an injury replacement. But there's talk he's got a contract in China or Japan or something, I believe. So, but you never know.
He's on the record as saying he can stay here for what amounts to about 12 games. So David Johnson doesn't have to be rushed. They can make sure he's 100% correct.
My only question, I was going to say, is there enough games for David Johnson? But there's 20 more games, so that's fine. Okay, so Adelaide beating Tasmania, as you said. Look, I didn't love the Cairns-Perth game. Perth just did enough on the back of JLA and Windler. But, you know, it was a good win. Just Cairns can't put the ball in the hole at the moment.
Yeah, but they're not running enough stuff. Look, you've got to – it's like pass the ball to Jack McVay and clear out, and Jack, go to work, mate. And go
on. Just to add to that, while you're talking, Melbourne thumped them 3 days later or 4 days later. So please continue.
Doesn't work. You know, you can't just give the guy the ball and say, hey, you've done all these great things in the last year or so. We're going to give you the ball and you just turn around and go one-on-one all the time, because the second he turns around and makes his move, the second defender comes. In the Melbourne game, there was a moment where he turned into the Kiwi. He had four guys swamping him.
It's not,
you're not getting him an open shot.
It's too easy. It is too easy to guard him. I think Marcus Lee's, in my opinion, having probably his best season so far.
He's
but, it's not great.
What about the end of the game against Perth? You're three down.
Yeah.
You get the ball.
I know.
Andrew Andrews drills it down the floor and jacks up a piece of rubbish.
There's a guy to your left, mate, that's one
and again. He's open.
No, no.
Give him the pass early.
Yeah.
Because, okay, whether he makes it or not, we don't know.
No, that's the guy that should be shooting the shot.
Yeah.
I get you. Let's stay Adelaide losing to the Kings. I mean, we've mentioned that already. We've already spoken about it enough.
Adelaide didn't do enough. They didn't do enough to change what was happening. They didn't do enough to get Bryce free.
Yeah, I agree.
Basically, again, reflected what I've said all along. I've got big question mark over two coaches, Stu Lash at Brisbane and Mike Wells at Adelaide, because
the only thing that sort of shocked me is it felt like, we don't have the answers for this game. We'll deal with it during the week on video sessions. Do you know what I mean? No change ups. That's what I felt. So anyway, New Zealand, after a good win against Illawarra, they were looking okay, I guess, against Southeast Melbourne, but the Phoenix got the win in the end, 87-81.
That could have gone either way.
Yeah, so, I thought so too.
I don't think we want to just lump New Zealand back into where they were before they beat Illawarra. They've taken a definite step forward, had some soul searching. They want to be something. But Southeast Melbourne, we're good. Owen Foxwell was good.
I'll give Sam Meninga a shout out. He had 29 points and I think 11 rebounds that he's had. He did well. I just know what it is. This is the problem when you go like 0-4 to start the season. Your losses are bigger, right? Because you're 1-5 or 1-6 or 2-7. You know, it climbs and that's where it is. The last game we even spoke about was Melbourne versus Cairns. It was a shocker. Mate, give me your best moment, please.
My best moment came from the Adelaide-Sydney game, and it actually, even though I loved everything that Sydney did and how they executed, Zylan Cheatham, he got two of the best blocks you could ever hope to see. One's Jalen Galloway, looking like he's going to do a dunk on the baseline.
Cheatham says that was cool.
And then the other one is Xavier Cooks. He's got the ball. He's coming down the middle of the key. He's got the arm cocked for the Statue of Liberty special. Zylan Cheatham says, no, you don't.
No way.
And those were two sensational blocks.
It's funny because my best moment was going to be JaVale McGee blocking Tyrell Harrison at the ring and above it. That was two seven-footers going at it. And I love that, but I can't go against Lamar Patterson's dunk. Now, here's this guy that I'm like, what, you know, really? Are they signing him? Like, that's it? You know what I mean? Mate, when I walked into Illawarra, I saw him. I was like, oh, he's lost weight. He looks good. He's up and down. He's on his feet. He had some good shots. And I'm thinking to myself, hang on, he had 17 points for the game? Okay.
He was good.
This is the one. And then he goes up and hits that two-hand tomahawk. I was like, yes, sir.
The week before when they lost, I thought they didn't use him enough. Mm. I think they forgot that this guy was actually an all-star in our league.
Yeah.
He's not a dud.
He looks good.
And if they're not going to replace Javon Liberty Freeman, then I'll be happy to stay with him. The question mark is really over Jalen Adams. He's all over the shop.
Shocking.
And the other thing is, I think Tyrell Harrison, it gets intimidated because the week before against Will Magnay, who he used to be the understudy to, Magnay had his way with him. And then right from the get-go against JaVale McGee, he looked a little bit shaky and intimidated.
I don't know if it was seen on TV because I was calling the game and I can't remember, but I mentioned it. There was a time when Tyrell Harrison set a screen on Jalen Adams. Adams came off and it looked like he was trying to draw a foul and shot a three. And I just saw Harrison turn around to the bench, hands in the air, going, what is going on? What are we running? And he looked really frustrated. They called a timeout. That's too early in the season for that to be happening. There's worry there.
Did you happen to notice, Brad, which coach he was asking? Because was he asking
three of them?
Stu Lash or Darryl McDonald or Greg Vanderjagt? Who was? Or was he all asking the real brains, all the team manager?
All right, who's your player of the round?
My player of the round for me was Dylan Windler. I thought his performance up in Cairns was a very consistent and strong one. And the reason I'm going with him is because the first game of the season, John really played him 35 minutes and he had like the worst stat line you've ever seen. And he played his worst game. I thought, oh, no, I hope it hasn't sort of caught up with him. His subsequent games have all been excellent. I'm not giving it to him for a body of work, but that game against Cairns, he was terrific.
Well, let me say, 26 points and 11 rebounds in 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Very impressive. But in the third quarter alone, 12 points. Yeah. 5 of 5 from the field, 3 rebounds, 0 turnovers. Like, he played well, man. I'll give that. Ironically, the guy that I'm going to go for is in the same game for my play of the round. Now, I can't go past JLA. 30 points, 10 rebounds, got to the free throw line, 0 turnovers, had a block. I thought he was really good, but I'm no disrespect to yours as well. No. I do want to shout out that I thought Quatnoy was great in his Adelaide win. Bryce Cotton was great in the first win against Tasmania. And Tyler Harvey was very good in the Brisbane game. So shout out to those guys. Yeah. But JLA was mine. Of course, I would add Windler to that list, but you've already mentioned to him. So.
You know what I liked about Sydney, though, was Quatnoy, who I find sometimes quite annoying, which really works nicely with his name. I think that's the best game I've seen him play.
Yeah,
this season.
Yeah, he was good.
He did more than just stand outside the three-point line and jack it up.
Well, that's been the first thing for the first few games, right? It's all been, and if his shot's not dropping, what else are you giving?
Yep.
He gave that the other night. Also, throw out to Sam Meninga. He had a good game as well. But that was in the other game.
And Bull Quall in that game, not the other game. He was awful in the other game. But in that game, that's Bull Quall without any bull crap. And that's who we want to see.
Oh, Body is bringing it today. Nodge Nasty, please, my man.
Well, Nodge Nasty, look, I love Matthew Dellavedova, but I thought the fourth foul that he got, the unsportsmanlike foul in the match against Melbourne, when he took out Tyson Walker, who for me was another candidate for player of the round, the way he shoulder dropped and charged him took me back to those days, the Dirty Dilly days that they used to call him in the US. And I was just disappointed to see that. That was his fourth foul. And his fifth foul was, again, another overly physical one against Walker. So whether he was frustrated or what, I just didn't like seeing that. Dilly, you're better than that. You've proved that a number of times that you're a better man than that. Don't let's start slipping into that territory. Give me your Rosen Rattler.
My Rosen Rattler is I want to shout out to Dean Vickerman. It's not usually I go sort of at an individual coach on the positive side. And the reason I want to say this, and I'm not pinpointing at anyone, but every coach, you know, we're doing this, we're doing that. This is the excuse. We've got this. And maybe it's not the coaches doing that. I just never hear Dean, that's next man up mentality for him. I never hear anything else. They're 5-0. Only one game with, now, I don't know, is he their best player? He's their most impact player, and that's CG43, right? Yep. I mean, they looked, every time he touches the ball, you feel like something's going to go on, right?
Yep.
And I just feel that I think Dean Vickerman always has his team ready. They come out of the blocks firing. They are ready to go. Every player that steps on that court is playing 100% hard. There is no like shaking heads, looking frustrated, head down, nothing. And that is from the head coach down that starts. And I just got to give him a shout out. He is outstanding.
Yeah. And can I just add to that he's also recognized that last year's team, it was just a bit too old. And so that they've really injected some young guys in there. Their import tandem or triple, I should say, trio is the best in the league. And none of those guys are old men, you know, Tyson Walker and Jesse Edwards are young guys.
No, they've got got that nice blend that you need. And so, you look around some teams that are struggling, there's not that youth blend like you're talking about. So,
Body, you're saying bland. The word is blend. You know what bland is? Bland is listening to you on the commentary. That's bland.
Take a ticket and stand in line, my man. You're not the only one that says that crap. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you. Lots of love to you all. I hope you're enjoying Body rabble on about me. Everyone else does. Botond, have a good week,
love
my
you,
friend.
You know, I love you. See ya.
See you next time.
So it's Suarez, Brad. Not Soares. Suarez.
He told me that last week. I got it right this week. I even wrote it down in big letters in front of my eyes so I wouldn't get it wrong.
Yeah, I'm only saying that to tease you because I know these things bother you.
No, these things don't. You do.